Mo Krokmal is an assistant professor of journalism at Hofstra University and the only new media professor in the department. Today we're going to talk about the future of journalism and his advice for amateur journalists. Thanks for joining me.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for coming.
So my first question for you is, Malcolm Gladwell recently told Time magazine that the role of the generalist is diminishing, so aspiring young journalists should skip journalism school and go to some other kind of grad school. What do you think about that?
I think that Malcolm's been misinterpreted. I've been just having discussions about this with other journalists on Twitter. And I think what he says, if you already have journalism skills, then you maybe don't need to go to graduate school. Maybe that's when you get a specialty. But if you don't have journalism skills, I think journalism school is still a great place. These days, if you have the basic journalism skills, the writing, the ability to use multimedia, then there are places like the healthcare field, biology, computer science, mathematics. Those are hot fields. Certainly healthcare is a huge field, and if you can get some kind of expertise in that, you have the writing ability, that's pretty awesome. I think a journalism education is tremendous training for anything. In our changing world, if you can get your communication skills together, you have writing skills, you have an ethical foundation. And the reason I can talk about this is 15 years ago, I quit my career. I had 10 years as a journalist. I was a sports journalist in North Carolina, little tiny newspapers. And I applied to Columbia and I said, oh, this would be great. When they turned me down, at least I've had the experience of the application. And you know, the day comes when you get the manila folder instead of the little envelope. And that day changed my life. And I went up there not to get a journalism education, because I've been doing it for 10 years, but to get an education, to learn about how to do things. And I think that's the real litmus test, is I'm going to get an education. And if I have that, I have the intellectual tools that will then allow me to deal with a very rapid, fluid, changing economy and marketplace.
The democratization of media has led to an explosion of amateur journalists. Do you think this is a good thing, or do you think that we were better off when there was sort of a black and white distinction between journalist and audience?
No, I don't think we're better off. I think the more, call me a liberal if you want, but there was days when information was rare and you went to the journalist as the gatekeeper of information. Now information is not so rare. It's become somewhat of a commodity. When breaking news happens, it's on Twitter. You know, what do we look for journalists to do? And I think the position of a journalist is still to do things, to tell us things that maybe we don't want to know, but we need to know. We need to be able to shine light in dark places and comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And I think there's room for journalists to take on the skills of being information filters, pointing to where the good stuff is, curating. I think it's an important role, and I don't know that the amateur is ready to take on that role, but I think there's a place where a linkage between the pro and the amateur that makes the world a better place.
There's so much information coming at us right now that it is really difficult to try to figure out who to listen to. Do you think we're going to start going back to the more conventional journalism model where you have these authorities who are trusted versus just trying to find things on Twitter or through Google search?
I think you mentioned the social media, that's going to have a big effect. And, you know, a conversation I'm having on Twitter is how to measure influence and engagement. And I don't know that if you don the cloak of journalism, whether that grants you immunity or superpowers. I think that has to be earned. And one of the places that you really have to, I think social media has been described as the ocean that journalism has to swim in. And I think you have to earn your stripes on a daily basis there and your credibility. Now, there's people, New York Times writers, you know, they've earned their stripes, they've covered it. And I think that's one way of doing it. But we have experts out here who are now availing themselves of these new tools and being able to communicate. In journalism, we have to think of adding value. How can we add value? How can we get involved in the conversation and help the conversation?
So Arianna Huffington has said that all news is fundamentally opinionated, even when it claims to be objective, and that it's actually more honest for a journalist to post an opinion piece and state that that is an opinion piece and to try to be objective. Do you think journalism should be objective or opinionated?
Well, you're talking about something very interesting, and it's not Ariana is not a new opinion. We've always kind of batted this about in journalism. We all have our luggage. We all, whether it's economic, cultural, political, we all have a unique outlook on life through the things that have shaped us, and we frame our stories that way, you know. And maybe that's why it's important for diversity to be in our lives, so that we get different opinions. And that's why in journalism we like to have two opinions. So I think the idea of total objectivity is a myth, and that if you look at the end of the day, you see stories that are framed by people's references, whether, you know, the questions or the time. So I think it's unreal to expect journalists to be entirely objective. Let's ask journalists to be fair, to be thoughtful, and try to be balanced. And that's not the Fox argument, but let's make an effort to, because there's just no way to be totally objective.
So you think the aim should be to be objective versus opinionated?
I think opinion is acceptable, and we should be transparent. When it's, you know, how do you say, you know, how do you write about unemployment if you've got, you know, you've got a regular paycheck coming in? That frames how you might think about it and the way you approach a story. So that's what I'm talking about in the baggage that we carry with us. And there's a story where you might, used to be, if you were a columnist, you had the license to tell, to have an opinion. Now it's a blogger. I just think we need to say, you know, okay, so I'm a white middle class guy with two checks coming in a month, and this is how I'm writing this story. But, you know, in a way, maybe in 5 years, social media will take care of tagging us and labeling us anyway.
I've written for the Huffington Post and some other major news outlets, but I never went to journalism school, and there's a lot of people like me out there right now. What don't we know about reporting that we should know?
Let me say, I don't think you need to be a journalism school product to be a journalist, and there's many amazing and outstanding journalists out there. I worked with one in 1990, a small team in North Carolina that won a Pulitzer Prize, and none of them had journalism school degrees, and I did 10 years of journalism in the field without a journalism school degree. I graduated my undergraduate sociology and anthropology, but I wanted to write, and I got involved in sports, which was like the greatest joke in the world. I would never be looked at as an athlete, but sports was where I made my bones in journalism. And then I said, after 10 years, I saw computers making a big difference in how we were doing our jobs. This is 1994, 1993. Computers were coming into our field more and more. I said, I want to get ahead of that. So that's where I went to graduate school, and I was lucky to get into Columbia, which is regarded as the best journalism school in the nation. But that was an intellectual unlocking. You asked for what journalists, your amateur journalists, should have now. And I think it's, you need that gut of kind of ethical things. And when you see things that bother you, there's something wrong here, you ought to be able to listen to that. Being able to be kind of a bulldog in going after things. You know, not be scared, be transparent. And the thing that I think separates the pro from the amateur is ethics. You know, I think the professional has embraced the ethics of journalism. You should definitely look at the SPJ, Society for Professional Journalists. And there's also a code of ethics for the University of Missouri. Their journalism school has a code of ethics. Anything about ethics, you should also be aware of the First Amendment, understand what your rights are under the First Amendment, and read the Constitution, and understand how the law affects those who deign themselves. We don't license journalists, and we should never license. That's an opinion. We don't license journalists. So you can call yourself a journalist, and eventually the public will tell, but do know what the law provides for you in terms of protection and libel. Those are important things, and we study that in journalism school, ethics and the law.
What about in terms of conscientiousness? Like fact-checking, dealing with sources, what is important to know that amateur journalists might not know in terms of those
things? I call them the four D's of journalism, you know, and big thing is just have doubt. Don't trust. Don't be a microphone. You know, take everything with a grain of salt. You know, and it boils down to what they taught me in J school and what old grizzled New York journalists would say. Your mother loves you? Check it out. Call. Hey, Mom, you love me today? Okay. Today she loves you. But you can't, don't assume.
So would you say the more sources, the better?
You know, it's been my experience as a journalist that last call you make is sometimes the most important call, and you really got to make that next call. Sometimes you run out of time, but you do as much as you can, and you reach out. Sometimes you get to something that just turns that story around, or it's the thing you needed. You got to make that next call.
And what are the other three Ds?
Doubt, detect, discern, and demand.
And what do those mean?
I think all in all is just doubt. Sniff test. If something doesn't feel right, it's probably not. Demand answers, you know, and be a critical thinker, I think, is what we try to teach the students, and that's what we've got in college, is to be able to examine things and don't accept them, but kind of look at them, sniff them, and have your BS detector on set on very sensitive.
What does the term off the record mean?
It's an artificial construct. You know, as a journalist, if somebody wanted to go off the record with me, I would probably walk away. I did not want to deal with that. I think when you're a journalist, it's always on the record. Off the record is kind of and goes along with anonymous sources. And both of those things are not good. But sometimes, you know, when you're working with a source, maybe off the record is a way to begin talking, but I would teach, and I do teach, that you try to say, well, you know, that doesn't seem like it would hurt you. Can we put this on the record? It's a negotiation. And maybe, you know, at the end of the day, an ethical journalist really does not want to do their sources harm. So maybe that's a way to get a conversation and have a negotiation with a source if you're talking about something that is important for the public to know to work it out there.
At the 140 conference where I met you, you said, I tell my students you have a state-of-the-art education with a shelf life of 3 months. What does a 2009 state-of-the-art journalism education involve?
Well, I think, regardless of the time, the foundational elements, the ability to write, the ability to research, the ability to be fearless in making a call to the source, the ability to deal with deadline, the ability to have your ethical strong core values, your ethics. Those things are not changing, and they won't change. And that's why I think a journalism program was going to be relevant throughout. But we're in an age, and I've been doing online for 15 years, and I was always worried about getting out of the stream. And you get on the bank, and all of a sudden the river is just rushing by you. And we're in that time of really dynamic change, and every 3 months, every financial quarter, we're seeing new tools come out. Yeah, Twitter's hot now. What's it going to be in 5 years? I cannot even begin to tell you. The way to live in that environment is to have your foundational fundamentals together and be aware that change is a part of it, how to deal with change, be a quick learner, and lifetime learning is the trick. You never stop learning, and that's the most important thing. Never, ever stop learning.
Can people do research with Google? Is there any reason not to?
Let's talk about what you're talking about. Research backgrounding, absolutely. Looking up stuff, you know, that you need to prepare or detail, absolutely. You know, there's a whole part of the internet called the dark web, and these are things that are not indexed by Google. You know, Google I think 40% of the internet doesn't allow spiders in there, or it's database-driven sites. You query it, and it looks in the database and creates an answer and brings that back to you. Well, that's not searchable. So we have a lot of the internet that you have to know how to ask questions to databases. And they're working on making that all searchable. So if you depend on Google, no. You know, you've got to do more than that. And one of the easiest tricks is researching on social media. That search box on Twitter, really, really, really useful.
You also said with regard to Twitter, 140 characters, it's a great way to make my students write more concisely. In a media environment where audiences have increasingly short attention spans, is there such a thing as too brief?
I think that we live in a pyramid. I think Twitter did not kill the blog. Twitter has really ignited the blogosphere, and because on Twitter you can write short subjects and you have a link. Hey, if you want to know more about this, here's my blog. Go read about that, and you can build on that. And in your blog, you should have links that you're not worried about leading people off your site. You want to be the trusted source. Like, she gives me awesome links. I always check with her. I go follow them, but I come back to her. So, and then there's a story I want to tell you. Hemingway. He was challenged about writing briefly. Hemingway is my writing hero. Got to the point, strong verbs, very concise. As a sports writer, you learn how to do this. It's about active voice, and your verbs carry all the power. Nouns and verbs. You throw away your adjectives and your adverbs, and you let that simple, easy to read sentences. So he wrote a story in 6 words. And here's Hemingway's story. Baby shoes for sale, never worn. So if you're a master of your tools, you know how to write 6 words, 6 characters, that's fine.
It's enough.
You can do it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Enjoy it.
Bye.